It's wonderful to see that the fire will come upon all of us. The Lord will come and then the fire will come. Like it says in 1 Corinthians, the day will make it clear. The day is when the Lord will come back. Yeah, the day will reveal it. That means the fire will come upon each one, upon the righteous and the unrighteous. The fire will come, and for some it will lead to perdition, and for the others, the fire will be the last refining. This is a great motivation for us that we would be able to withstand the fire. I want, when the Lord comes and he sends this fire, that I would be able to withstand it. And the last thing that the Lord will do before he comes is to also change our bodies. This is so glorious. He wants to save us from all defilement of the flesh and of the spirit. And if we work together with the Lord, then he will take us with him and even save our bodies, renew our bodies. This is really such a perfect work that he wants to do within us. It is a wonderful goal that we have before our eyes. Amen. Oh, send my messenger who will prepare the way for me. And he will come suddenly to his temple. Amen. He is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. Amen. That was Malachi 3, 1 to 3. It's good to see in the times that we are living, to see that the Lord is coming quickly. As we just heard, his second coming is so soon. And we see that on the day that he comes, he will be like a refiner's fire. For the unbelievers and the people in this world, it will be a terrible day. And not just through the many signs of the times, but also through this word in Malachi, do we see that the Lord is standing at the door and he's so near and he wants to warn us concerning this day. He wants to make us ready for his second coming. And we have to have this before our eyes on a daily basis and to tell the Lord, Lord, when you come, I want to be ready. And as it says here in verse 2, but who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? An unbeliever for sure cannot stand when he appears. But for us as Christians, the question is, are we ready? Because if we don't prepare ourselves today and go this way with the Lord, then we also will not be able to stand when he comes. Then this day will also be like a fire for us. And through the speaking of the Lord, we see that this is very serious. And he wants his priesthood to be perfected. And that's why he appears as one who is a refiner and purifier of silver. We all know that there are so many things that the Lord still needs to deal with within us. There's so many things that he has to remove from us, all the dross, all the unholy thoughts that are in us. There's so much mixture with this world. And there's so much that does not yet correspond to the Lord. That's why the Lord shows us today that we need to know Him in such a way. As the one who refines us. Yeah, and who purifies us and makes us ready for His coming. It's good to see, as it was already said, that He speaks to the sons of Levi. This shows us, just like the whole book of Malachi, this word is directed to the priest, and He wants to purify and refine the priests. Of course, He wants to refine all the Christians, but we see that the way of refinement is the priesthood. Are we also ready to go this way, the way of the priesthood? If we are, then He can also perfect His work in us. Because He will purify the sons of Levi. I think this has to speak to all of us and show us in the entire book of Malachi how much the priesthood is on His heart. This way of sanctification is a way that He has prepared for us, and it's also a way of refining. If we look at the standard that the Lord has for us, like between from the chapters 5 and 7 of Matthew, to see the requirements for entering into the kingdom of heaven, and also Philippians 2:15, that you would be that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. This really shows this high goal that we should be blameless and harmless and without fault. So to reach this goal, we cannot avoid refining and purification. We need it. And I really appreciate this picture here of the refiner and the purifier of silver, because He sits and refines and purifies the silver. That He's sitting there shows us that this process requires time. It doesn't go that quickly. It doesn't happen overnight. But there's so many things in us that the Lord needs to deal with, and it requires time for the Lord to remove all these things. Yet, it says He sits there. That means His eye is always upon us. He's always watching. In all our trials, in all our sufferings, He won't forget us, and He won't allow the heat to be too strong that we cannot tolerate the sufferings. He will not tempt us beyond what we are able. But the Lord knows when it's enough, and He knows exactly how much we need to really be changed. Yeah, but He also will not make the heat too high. And He has this high goal with us. And He's not satisfied with only 80 or 90% of reaching His goal. He wants to refine us 100%. He wants to save us to the uttermost. That's why we see also, as refining and purification of silver requires heat, our transformation also requires heat. If we don't go through the fire, we won't reach His standard. Sometimes when the heat rises, it's not always joy, but in 1 Peter 4:17, says that it is time for judgment to begin in the house of God. If we see that the day is like a fire, then we see that this judgment has to begin in us today. Yeah. Let us really take this gift from Him and say, I want to go on with You, Lord. I want to be refined today so that I wouldn't have to go through fire later. When we go through trials, we need to have before our eyes that He does this out of love towards us. He does this because He loves us and He wants to preserve us, keep us from that which is to come. Sometimes when we go through trials, through sufferings, it's not easy. It's not easy to see that He loves us. Sometimes we complain before Him. But the question is, do we have this attitude to say, Lord, I want to accept it from You. I want to see what You want to show me in this. Yeah, I want to see where You want to change me. Yeah, ask Him to give You light, to see where He still needs to change something in our lives. He doesn't want us to complain and to murmur, but to seek Him in these matters. But like Malachi begins, he says He has loved us. Despite His sharp words, He calls us to repent and to return. And this shows His love towards us. And actually, His judgment also expresses His love towards us. I think we all realize, if the Lord doesn't do the work in us today, there's so many things in us that don't correspond to Him, like being obedient to Him. The Lord loves and enjoys people who are fully obedient to Him, who keep His commandments. And we see His Son, He was such a man on this earth. He was fully obedient to the Father all the time. And so many things were not obedient to the Lord. Sometimes I realize the Lord exposes something, He shows something, and I tell the Lord, I want to change this. But then I realize after the fact that I wasn't really obedient. And there's so many things that are really deep within us, and it requires a deep, thorough refining and purification, so that He can make us to those who are fully obedient. So it's good to see the Lord as He was, as a man. Hebrews 5, verse 7 says that in the days of His flesh, when He had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to Him, who was able to save Him from death and was heard because of His godly fear. Here we get an impression of the sufferings that He had to go through. He even had to cry out to Him and shed and had tears before Him, but he was heard because of His godly fear. So when He sends us through trials, it really will give us godly fear. And He will change us inwardly. And we will really receive fear before the Lord, not to be so loose with so many things and to do so many things that just please us. Yeah, through crying out to Him, through all tests and trials and sufferings, it will give us this godly fear. And in verse 8, it says, though He was a son, yet He learned obedience by the things which He suffered. Even the Lord, as a man on this earth, He had to learn it through suffering. So for us, it's the same way, the same path. The Lord also has to bring us through trials and sufferings that we'll learn it. Yeah, let us always have the Lord's, God's love before our eyes, that He wants to bring us to perfection. And if we have experienced the fire ourselves and gone through sufferings, it gives us an impression of what is to come. If I just hear about this, that there's reward and punishment for the Christians, and I never go through the fire myself, then it doesn't leave such a deep impression on me. It doesn't cause me to have this deep need to prepare myself for this day. But if I've gone through it myself, then I realize that I have to prepare myself for this day. and have to deal with all the mixture to this, with this world and love for this world, I realize if I'm tested by the Lord, then all these things become so small. Then I don't love the world anymore, and I cast myself fully upon the Lord. And then I don't want to live in my, and I don't live in myself anymore. And He will refine and save us in such a way. I notice so often that I want to serve the Lord, but still I keep something for myself. I withhold something. And there are times where I am just for myself and I look only at myself. And my heart is not fully given to the Lord. And now in the time of the lockdown, I realized, you get loose, you don't get up that early anymore. You don't really spend the time that much in prayer with the brothers. And then it becomes comfortable to live like this. Yeah, and I realized the Lord really has to take away the self. And for this, we need deep refinement and refining. And if we go through the sufferings ourselves, then we can appreciate what kind of work He wants to do in and with us. And then I appreciate the healing. Then I'm not someone who's just there and is occupied with myself. But I appreciate what the Lord is working in and among us. It's good to learn to tell the Lord, burn everything away that is not corresponding to you. Yeah, the Lord couldn't do anything out of Himself. He served God all the time and always sought the will of the Father. That's why it's good when He sometimes increases the heat so that we learn to cast ourselves fully upon the Lord. And if we go through trials ourselves, then we realize that it gives us a heart for others who are suffering themselves. Otherwise, I might know that someone else is suffering, but it wouldn't give me this need to pray for this person. But the more I am tried myself and go through the fire myself, the more the Lord can also change my heart. And in Hebrews 2:17 said that He became in all respects like His brother, like His brethren, that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest. He also had to become a man to have this compassion for us. And the Lord really had a heart for the people. He never turned anyone away. He was such an example through the sufferings He went through Himself. And in verse 18, it says, "For in that He Himself has suffered, being tempted, He is able to aid those who are tempted." Amen. Realize when I suffer and I am tempted, then I really have this heart to help others. So we have to see that, well, none of us likes to suffer, but we need it so that He can really purify us in a deep way. And in 1 Peter 4:12, it says, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you." Sometimes it seems like that for us, that some strange thing happens to us and we say, "Lord, how come I have to go through this now?" But in verse 13, He says we should rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. Shows us that this fiery trial gives us an exceeding measure of glory. Romans 8:32 says that he did not spare his own son. How will he spare us who are sinners? He has to bring us through these trials so that we can partake of his glory. And the result is what we see in Malachi 3:3, that they will offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. And this is what he wants to reach with us through the refining work. He wants our offerings to be richer, to increase. That we who bring the offerings would bring them in righteousness. The Lord really looks at our being. In Revelation 14, we see that the first fruits, they became first fruits to that which the Lord was able to work in them. That shows that he really treasures this righteous nature. He wants to make us to such people. Praise the Lord. And Hebrews 12 was already mentioned, that the chastening today that we receive as sons of God, that we all have become partakers. He wants to give us and make us to be partakers of his holiness. Hebrews 12 says that nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it, trained by the chastening. Here we see the fruit that results when the Lord deals with us today. And we see that this word is directed to the priests. But he will not force anyone to go this way. It really depends on us to say, Lord, I want to go this way. I want to serve you as a priest. I want to let myself be chastened and purified today. The Lord will not force anyone to do this or to go through this, but it's good to begin with it today, to say, Lord, I want to go this way. It's good to make the decision now, to say, I don't want to draw back. Yeah, praise the Lord. The result would be the offerings in righteousness. This is a strong warning that the Lord speaks here. And it really spoke to me to take this word seriously and to say, Lord, I want to increase and grow in all aspects. The offerings should also grow and increase. So let us be encouraged to go this way and to not draw back when sufferings come, because it gives us an exceeding measure of glory. The sufferings will come. No one will be spared, believer nor unbeliever. But it's important that we would experience salvation in this. It's easy to complain when we go through difficulties and to try to resist or to become bitter. It's really easy. But it's about crying out to the Lord. Yeah, and to call to him. Zechariah 13:9 says, I will bring this one third through the fire. I will refine them as silver is refined, and test them as gold is tested. They will call on my name, and I will answer them. I will say, this is my people. And each one will say, the Lord is my God. Amen. Yeah, and everything that comes, we really need to cry out to the Lord. This is what the Lord did when he was on this earth. He cried out to the Lord, to God, to receive salvation. Yeah, the God of all grace who called you in His glory. After you have suffered a little while, He will perfect, establish, strengthen, and strengthen you. So it's a matter of how we go through all our sufferings. Yeah, so let us have the Lord before our eyes. Lord, this is now an opportunity. Save me. Work in me. Do what you have sent this trial for. Otherwise, it's for nothing. And it's in vain. That would be a pity. And it'll come again. And at the end, it's really important to see that we need the grace. Paul went through so many things, and he even made supplications to the Lord that it would go away. What was his answer? He said, "My grace is sufficient for you." And this is a wonderful experience. You can have hindrances in your way. Either you can take away the hindrances, and then the problem is dealt with, or there's more supply to be able to go over the hindrance. So it's so wonderful to experience His grace. Yeah, He is the God of all grace, 1 Peter 5:10. That we would be perfected, established, strengthened, and settled. Yeah, we want to gain the Lord, and we don't want to miss the opportunity to gain Him. Not to complain, not to contend with Him, but to cry out to Him, to call to Him, that He would give us grace, that He would give us an answer, so that we would be saved through whatever comes our way, and go on with the Lord. And then there are wonderful offerings. Those are the best offerings, and they don't come just like this. Just like we read in Psalm 66. We stopped reading in verse 15. But the next verses are also good. Psalm 66:15. I will offer you burnt sacrifices of fat animals with the sweet aroma of rams. I will offer bulls with goats. Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will declare what He has done for my soul. It's not good when we go alone through all sufferings. Then you will become bitter. You have to take the Lord into everything that you're going through. And then it'll be a gain for you. Only through the Lord will fire be a gain for us. Like the three friends of Daniel. If they were alone in the fire, they would have turned to ashes. It wasn't a gain for them. But when they stood there with the Lord, it was such a gain for the Lord and such a testimony for Him. So when things like this happen, let us cry out to Him that the Lord would be with us in the trial. In the Psalms it says that we went through water and fire. Of course you want to go around it, but you're in it. But it says in verse 17 of Psalm 66, I cried to Him with my mouth and He was extolled with my tongue. Isn't it good to have the Lord with you in the middle of it all? And it says in verse 20, blessed be God who has not turned away my prayer nor His mercy from me. Because even in and after the suffering, you can say the Lord is good because the Lord was with you and He saved and He blessed. Yeah, we want to have silver. We want salvation and we want gold. We want the being of the Lord. And this only happens if we go through the sufferings. And let's have the Lord with us. Do not suffer alone. This will create only damage. But let us go through all sufferings with Him. I wanted to add something similar. Titus 2:11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. Amen. This is so precious that He has given us this age of grace, that He supplies us with His grace also through all difficulties. In the fire, there's always this stream of grace. Otherwise, it's really hard. And the judgment that will come later is without grace. When the age of grace is over, then judgment comes and it's going to be without grace. So how much more we need to take grace from the Lord when we go through difficulties. Grace is like a medicine that heals. And that also trains us and makes us well-pleasing to God. I want to learn this more, to take grace from the Lord. Amen. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. That was James 1:2. This word concerning fire really encouraged me. There's so much that has to be burnt away in us. It became so clear to me. And it's become so clear to me in these last few months that there's so much in us that has to be burned away. Sometimes I don't realize how much there is still to be burned away in me. Sometimes I have the tendency to just go away from the fire. And I also have the tendency to just run away to find water and to quench the fire. But the Lord brings us into such situations because we need them. We need this process. There's so much in us that still has to be burnt away. So it really touched me how Paul, how his experience was so clear in this direction in Acts 16. It was midnight, and Paul and Silas, they prayed and were also praising him. Because they didn't just accept their situation. Sometimes it's easier to just accept the situation. But they even sang songs of praise. Verse 25 in Acts 16. They even enjoyed the situation that God put them in. Even though the situation, outwardly speaking, was not good at all. But they enjoyed the Lord in this situation. They were praying and singing hymns to God. This is wonderful in the midst of this fire because the Lord is with us. And this really touched me that today in this universe, there are two kingdoms, the kingdom of the devil and God's kingdom. There's no neutrality. I cannot go away from these trials and tests because they'll come regardless. But I have to remain in the kingdom of God with the Lord, enjoy Him, and sing hymns to Him. It's so wonderful at midnight in all the problems, where there's so much heat. In the midst of all this, Paul and Silas were able to sing hymns to God. This really touched me. I praise the Lord for the word in Malachi. It is so clear how the Lord still has so much to do in us. But at the end of the day, there will be many rich offerings that result. And there will be so much enjoyment for the Lord. Because it went through fire. And everything that's not gold and silver and that's not precious, that will go away. Really spoke to me that the Lord shouldn't come back to us suddenly, but that we should recognize that He is at the door. And we read Luke 21:34. says, take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly. So I need such fear to take heed to myself that this would not be the situation in which I find myself. We're living in this age. At the last conference regarding Revelation, we had fellowship about Laodicea. This was the last church. And this shows that this will be the condition of the church shortly before he comes back. And the danger is so great that we would also cool off or cool down, and that his day will come upon us unexpectedly like a snare. And for this we require his refining. He even counseled them to buy gold that is refined in the fire. And this shows us his love, that he wants to really preserve us and keep us from the day that is to come. Because the Lord is coming. See that the day of the Lord is coming, burning like a fire. And we really need to take heed to ourselves that it will not come upon us unexpectedly like a snare.